Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoyed the teaching of our guest speaker this week. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. It's a joy to be here to preach this morning. I was telling Dan I didn't really know what to title this sermon, and I think you just made one up. So I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds great, which makes me sound really unprepared. But really, the reality is this sermon is about a year in the making. And if you really want to go all the way back to where this idea for doing something like this was impressed upon my heart, really it goes back to the spring semester of my freshman year of college just over 6 years ago. So in a way, this sermon is about 6 years in the making. But what I want to talk about is just the importance of the scriptures and why they are so important in our lives. Just as George and Dan were saying, one of our key goals as a church is building strong families. Another key goal is having a healthy culture and growing as a strong church. And I think a key to both of those initiatives is a foundation upon the Word of God and knowing God's Word, not just hearing it from whoever's standing up here on Sunday morning, but knowing it and reading it every day, week in, week out, and teaching that to our families and sharing the hope that we have in Christ with people that we come in contact with in our lives. So I want us to look at that this morning. This sermon's a little bit different. Typically, whenever we have a sermon, someone will come up here, they'll read the text, and then they'll come up with some points. Mine's actually backwards. So I'm going to give a bunch of points, and then we're going to look at the text. And it's also different in the fact that I'm not opening my Bible today. That doesn't mean the Bible's not going to be taught, but I will not be opening it today, but you will be. So if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, please open up to Ephesians chapter 1. If you're using the Bible on the row in front of you, it's on page 976. And I want us to talk just a little bit about the importance of God's Word for our lives. We must know the Bible. If we call ourselves followers of Jesus, we must know the Bible as best that we can. Now, I'm not saying that the second you become a follower of Jesus, you need to have the whole Bible memorized or anything like that. No, I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying over time, we need to grow in our knowledge and understanding of what the scriptures say. I think there's a few reasons of why we need to do this. One is we can know God better as a result. If this really is God's word, then we're going to find out about God, because ultimately the Bible is all about God. God is the main character in scripture. From Genesis 1:1 through the end of Revelation, he is the main part of the story. And we can learn about other things in the middle. We learn about who man is, and we learn about just a whole lot of different things from Scripture. But ultimately, the Bible was written to reveal God to us and to reveal our need for Him and how we can be restored back into a relationship with our Creator. We need to know about the Bible so that we can see that. We also get to learn the big story of the Bible. Like I said, it's all about God. It's all about what He's done, what He's continuing to do in our world. But we learn the big picture of things. We learned about how all throughout the Old Testament, it's pointing us toward Christ. Even just a few weeks ago, we watched a sermon from Pastor Robert Morris from Gateway Church, and he was talking about the sacrifices in the Old Testament and how the unclean had to be, the clean had to be slain for the unclean, and how that, like, even as much as I've read the Bible and have gone to seminary and stuff, that just stood out to me like, whoa, I'd never seen that before. So I'm still learning as I'm going through life to see what the Bible is saying, what the big picture of the Bible is all about. And you need to know that as followers of Christ. It's not enough for just whoever's up here on the stage. You can't take Pastor David home in your pocket to have him explain passages to you whenever you're reading it. You have to know what the Bible says for yourself. Now, we're certainly available to help you as a staff and as elders and other leaders in the church. We want to be there to help you, to equip you and prepare you. But sometimes, you know, you have to just figure it out for yourself, and you have to open up the Bible and figure that out. Also, one of the things we learn about God whenever we know God better by reading the scripture, it becomes a great comfort to us as well. Even just in this past year, with the death of my grandfather, and then even yesterday with having a memorial service for him, what stayed on the forefront of my mind was Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but you? But there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That had to be on the forefront of my mind as my comfort from the Lord. If I tried to find a comfort from something else, ultimately it wasn't going to satisfy. But the Word of God does provide comfort for us. Another reason why we need to know the Bible and memorize Scripture even is it challenges us to be like Christ. It challenges us to live like Christ in the midst of a world, in a culture that does not appreciate the gospel. Not like anything's going on in our world right now about that, right? In a world that does not appreciate the foundation of Scripture, we have to know the Bible so that we live lives that are different. Jesus called us to be holy as he's holy. And that means not to be perfect, but to be set apart, to be different, that our lives would be different and people would see the hope within us as a result. But it also challenges us, the scriptures do, to love like Christ, to love in a way that is just unfathomable. To where we it just can't be understood by people why you would love someone when they don't deserve it, when they've done nothing to benefit you. You gain nothing from it, but you still love. That's the kind of love that we are challenged to show. And we can be challenged whenever we know the scriptures. The third reason is sometimes we just take the scriptures for granted. And we shouldn't do that. I'm reminded of a couple videos that I know, or a couple stories that I've heard. There's this one video of a village in Indonesia that had largely become Christian, but they didn't have the Bible in their language. And they were receiving the New Testament in their language for the first time. And it was a party, let me tell you. They were so excited to be receiving just the New Testament, which is only just a third of it. They were just receiving the New Testament in their language, and they were so excited. The pastors were thrilled because they had to have the Bible in another language, which was a little bit similar, but also different. And so they had to take the New Testament from this language and translate it to be able to teach it to the people. And they were so thrilled because now the people in this village were going to have the New Testament in their own language and can study for themselves. And they were just overjoyed by the prospect of them receiving the Bible in their language. Also am reminded of a story that I heard of some pastors in China, in an underground church movement in China. Which, by the way, just as a side note, this is just really cool. God is doing some amazing things around the world. And really, these church planting movements that we see around the world don't have the technology or techniques or anything like that that we have here in the West. They just have God's word and the Spirit of God, and they act. And they do it. The Southern Baptist Convention, of which this church is a part of, is the largest evangelical denomination in the United States, which is a great thing. But there are at least three church planting movements in China that we know of that have more members than the entire Southern Baptist Convention. That's just absolutely incredible. And they just, and a lot of it is just happening without us even knowing about it, or sometimes even them. They just are going, they're planting churches. They're planting churches in villages, in prisons of all places, because the pastors get thrown in prison. They say, well, I'll just make disciples while I'm here. And then they plant a church, and then people leave the prison, and then they go start churches wherever they go. It's an amazing thing. But I remember hearing a story of a group of pastors in China who, they didn't have enough Bibles for everyone to have their own one. So they would take the Bible, and they'd say, like, okay, here's Matthew, and they'd rip it out of the spine. And they say, you get to study Matthew this week, and then you get to study Mark, and you get to study Luke. And so that week, you got to study that book, and then you'd pass it along to the next person. And that's what they had to do to be able to study the Bible, because they didn't have enough for each person to have their own scripture. So it's amazing to see what God is doing whenever the church just sees the Word of God as the foundation, understands it, and acts accordingly. And that's what we pray will happen here at this church. I'm appreciative of ministries like Awana, who make this such a focus in their ministry to memorize scripture and to know what God's Word says. It's such an important thing for us to know in our world. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at what God's Word says. I've asked you to open up your Bible to the book of Ephesians. Pastor David is actually going to start preaching from Acts 19 when Paul goes to Ephesus. He's going to start that next week. And we're going to see whenever he works his way through Acts 19 that Paul goes through a lot in Ephesus. And even sometimes he's preaching, and it makes so many people mad that they literally started a riot because they didn't appreciate what Paul was saying. But Paul loved this church at Ephesus. He loved it so much. And the young man that he had trained in ministry, Timothy, became the pastor of this church. So he had much to say to this church and to its pastor. When Paul wrote this letter, just so you know, he wrote it from prison in Rome, where he was potentially facing his execution. And so he had some things to say before he left this world to this church. But the main thing that he was trying to get them to understand was two things. He wanted them to understand their position in Christ, about the beauty of the gospel, and what Jesus had done for them, and then to live differently in light of this truth. And really, the book is divided neatly in half. You've got six chapters, although Paul didn't write the chapters out. We know that, right? It wasn't like one, and then he's, okay, here's where verse 2 is going to start. Those were actually added later so that we could better find passages in the Bible and so we could actually memorize them better. But right in the middle, chapters 1-3 talk about our position in Christ and what Jesus has done for us. And then chapters 4-6 encourage us to live lives differently in light of this truth of what Jesus has done. So follow along with me in the book of Ephesians, starting in chapter 1, and let's hear what God's word says. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of God, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I've heard of your faithfulness and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you always in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and are by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the promises of God, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create for himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who are near. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I'm the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask that you not lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, would have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Therefore, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us as a measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, that we may all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, in whom the whole body, being joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, makes each part grow so that the body builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way that you learned Christ, assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so they may have something to share with anyone who is in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and love and faith as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, for the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she may be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each of you see that he loves his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by way of eye service or as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service and goodwill as to the Lord, not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I might declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you may know how I am and what I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I send him to you for this very reason, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be with all the brothers in love and faith from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. So, thank you. Like I said, it took a long time. what we're going to do now, you've heard God's word. Now we want to respond appropriately. Whatever you feel like the Spirit is leading you to do, then do that. If you need to sit and pray, then sit and pray. If you want to stand and sing this song that we're about to sing, talking about the wondrous mystery of the gospel, then stand and sing, sit and sing, whatever you need to do. Maybe you need to go to one of these communion tables and remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross and remember of the new life that we have in him. Whatever it feels like you need to do, whatever the Spirit is leading you to do, do that now. Let me pray for us, and we'll sing this song. Father, thank you for your word and for how it changes our lives and shapes us and molds us more into your image so that we can be like you. God, help us to remember your sacrifice that you made on the cross for us, and remember that we are to live accordingly. So help us to respond now appropriately during this time of worship. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.